Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you, we're still in Quran chapter 2, as we will be looking at specific verses to give you some commentaries on these materials. Now, we'll not be able to cover everything, because if we do, that study will take forever. Today, we will begin our study with chapter 2 and verses 67 to 73. Remember that Quran chapter 2 is called the Book of the Cow. Why? Because of that story, which we are going to be starting our program with today. Every chapter of the Quran have a name, and the name most likely will come from a word or a verse or a story, as it was in our case for our broadcast for today. So let us begin first by reading what is written in that passage concerning Allah asking Moses to ask the Jewish people to kill a cow. Allah said, "And when Moses said to his people, 'Surely Allah commands you to slaughter a cow,' they said, 'Do you take us as a scoff?' He said, 'I seek refuge from Allah, that I be of the foolish.' They said, 'Call on your Lord for us, that he would inform us what it is.' He said, 'Surely,' he said, 'Surely it is a cow, neither old nor young, between the two. So do what you are commanded.' They said, 'Call on your Lord for us, that he would inform us what is its color.' He said, 'Surely,' he said, 'surely she is a yellow cow. Her color is bright. She pleases the beholders.' They said, 'Call on your Lord for us, that he would inform us what she is. Surely the cows are alike to us. And surely if Allah wills, we will be guided.' He said, 'Surely,' he said, 'surely she is a cow, not worn by plowing the earth or watering the field, submissive, no blemish in her.' They said, 'Now you come with the truth.' So they slaughtered her, and they almost did not do it. And when you kill a soul and disagree among yourself about it, and Allah brings forth what you were hiding. So we said, 'Strike him with part of it.' Likewise, Allah gives life to the dead and shows you his signs. Perhaps you may understand." Now, when we read the story in the Quran, we wonder what is the source of such information. Because if we read the five books which written by Moses' hand, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the book of Numbers, we will never find anything about that story or that conversation which took place between the children of Israel and Moses. But once again, when you read the Quran itself, you will not have a clue what Allah or Muhammad is talking about. But when you read the interpretation of such verses, this will bring some light to what is going on in that passage. The story goes like that. There was a man who is a rich man, lived among the children of Israel, who has one son. Now his nephews killed his son because they were hoping to inherit from that rich man. Because if you have only one son and your son die, the nearest relative, that is the nephews, will be the inheritors. So after they killed his son, they actually dropped his dead body at the gate of that city. So now they do not know who is the person who killed the rich man's son. So now Muhammad and his scholars come up with this story to help us to understand that passage in Quran chapter 2, verses 67 to 73. Because of the description of that cow, it has to be not old, not young, bright yellow, submissive, never worked in a field, This description was found in one man's cow. This was the only cow with this description. Muslim scholars will tell us that the price of a cow in these days were roughly around 3 dinars. But they kept begging the owner of that cow to give them that one and only cow to be killed so they can use her dead body to find out who is the person who killed that rich man's son. They actually pay not 3 dinars, not 30 dinars, not 300 dinars, but the same amount of weight on that cow was gold. That is literally hundreds of thousands. I do not know exactly how we come up with the number of how much the price was for that cow for the rich man to buy. But anyway, they got the cow with this specific description, which, by the way, you could not have a cow with bright yellow color. This is a comedy. If you investigate like I did, you find out there is no cow with such color. You can have black cow, white cow, red cow, but not a bright yellow cow. But in any way, after they killed the cow, they took part of the cow and they touched the rich man's son with it. The dead man came back to life and he told his father and all the people about the real killer, which was his own cousins. And then, obviously, this young man died again and they buried him. Of course, it's a made-up story. Once again, there is no source for such propaganda in any material. But we have a closer story like that in the Bible, which I would like to share with you from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verses 1 to 9, which I believe is the source where Muhammad was hinting of or getting some of his information about killing a cow. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 to 9, we read, "If anyone is found slain lying in the field in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. And it shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man will take a heifer which has not been worked and which has not plowed with a yoke. The elders of the city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown. And they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. By their word, every controversy and every assault shall be settled. And all the elders of the city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. And atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord." There are a little bit similarity between that passage in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21 verses 1 through 9 to that which we have read in Quran chapter 2 verses 67 to verse 73. But there are plenty of differences there. That's why I said earlier, the story which is written in the Quran by Muhammad is simply invented. No record of it in the Bible. What we read in the book of Deuteronomy is simply like a law for future murders. There was not a specific rich man who lost a son. And as we read the interpretation of Muslim scholar, we discover that there's only one cow was found and the rich man was able to buy it because he paid the thousands and thousands of dollars. The weight of the cow was gold. If this was the law, what happened when the second person is murdered? There's not another cow. And who can afford to spend that huge amount of money to find out who committed the murder. And it is not logic. It does not make any sense that if you touch a dead body by that specific magical cow, that dead body will come back to life just to tell us who killed him or her, and then they go back to die. The purpose of the biblical account in the book of Deuteronomy, it is to show how serious the murder sin is. And the person who commit murder must be punished. That people must seek this sacrifice to stand up before God with clean hands. And someone will say, what if people lie? And they said that worse and they killed the cow, but they know who did the murder, or they were themselves are the one who committed the murder. We know from the history of the children of Israel that God's punishment was on such people, that they were literally punished by God, severe punishment in many ways, as God did not let their sin go by unpunished. This is the entirety of the history of the children of Israel. When somebody sinned, the judgment of God was always on them. But this is the law which was given to prove to the family of the person who was murdered that these people did not commit the murder. And obviously, as the elder will investigate and the judges will investigate the crime, they will find out who did commit the murder. And that person was always put to death, unless it was an accidental death. And that is when these people must run to one of the cities of refuge till they found not guilty. And if they found guilty, once again, they would be brought to death. And I believe the story is made up in the Quran. And the great evidence of that, the statement which was given by the children of Israel to Moses, when he said to them, Allah wanted you, Allah is asking you to slaughter a cow. They said to him, do you take us as a scoff? It sounds like a joke for Allah in the Quran to ask Moses, to ask the children of Israel to kill a cow. When in reality, the Jewish people know about the sacrifices of killing cows or sheep or lamb or even doves for those who cannot afford to offer expensive sacrifice. Sacrifices were part of the Jewish people's life. It starts all the way down when Adam sinned against God in the garden. And from that day, Adam taught his sons to offer the sacrifice, and the sons taught the sons until we get to Noah and we get to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And the history of the children of Israel is a life filled with sacrifices. That's why there was no reason for Allah in the Quran to say that the children of Israel told Moses, are you scoffing at us? And the conversation, this long conversation between Moses and the children of Israel, asking him specific information about the cow, and he will go up to Allah in the mountain to ask him about the answer for these questions. And then he come back down from the mountain to tell the children of Israel the answer for the first question, and the answer for the second question, and the answer for the third question. All this is just simply made up story. It is a fabrication invented by Muhammad and those who helped him to write the story about the killing of the cow in the Quran, from which we come up with the name of Quran chapter 2, the book of the cow.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now let's move on to another verse in Quran chapter 2. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 76 concerning the Jews. For there we read, and when they meet those who believed, these are the Jewish people, when they meet the Muslim believers, they said, we believed. And when they came together privately, that is the Jewish people among themselves, they said, will you discuss with them that which Allah opened to you, that they may dispute with you about it before your Lord? Do you not understand? Once again, the verse comes by itself. And when we read it, we could not understand what Muhammad is talking about. But when you read the fabrication, or what Muslims say, the interpretation of Muslim scholars, you'll have a little bit understanding to what this verse is all about. For Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, said that the hypocrites among the Jews, whenever they meet the companion of Muhammad, they will tell them, we believe in what you believe. We believe in Allah, we believe in Muhammad, we believe in whatever the Muslim people believe. But when they are by themselves, these are the Jewish people, they will tell the truth that they don't believe in Muhammad, they don't believe in the Quran. And that is when specific leaders among the Jewish people, like Ka'b, the son of Ashraf, and Ka'b, the son of Asad, and Wahab, the son of Yehuda, and many of the leaders of the Jewish people, said to these hypocrites, why are you doing that? Why are you teaching the Muslim people the things of the Torah, the things of our book, and then they will use that to dispute with you before Muhammad? This is the real story, as Ibn Abbas told us, why Allah gave that verse to Muhammad. But the verse was given to Muhammad, from which Muhammad exposed these hypocrites by letting them know that they are not believers, because he knows that they do not believe in him or in what he claimed to receive from Allah. So obviously, when you read a passage like that, you come up to the conclusion that this is not revelation. This is the reaction of Muhammad to what the hypocrites among the Jewish people were doing. Where is the revelation here? There is no revelation whatsoever. Any person who goes through these circumstances may write the same passage. And also from that verse, we learn that the Muslims used to learn from the Jewish people about things in the Bible. And obviously they shared these things with Muhammad. That's why we see many of the passages of the Bible are rewritten in the pages of the Quran. Now let's move on to another verse, which is Quran chapter 2 and verse 94. For there we read, say, if the home of the hereafter with Allah was exclusively for you without the people, so wish the death if you were truthful. What a strange concept. What a strange statement. You see, it was said that the Jewish people made the claim that only the Jewish people will go to paradise. Only the Jewish people will be in eternity in heaven. And everybody else will go to hell. That's because they say, we are the sons of Allah. We are his beloved. So Muhammad denied their claim by that verse, by challenging them to prove to Muhammad that they really believe in what they're saying, and what they're saying is true, by simply wishing the death for themselves. What kind of logic is that? Does this have any common sense? For me as a Christian today to say only born-again Christian will make it to heaven, and some atheist or some Muslim or some Jewish man come to me and said, oh, if you are truthful, wish for yourself the death. What kind of Christian am I to wish death for myself? Because as a Christian, I would never wish the death for myself. I would never wish the death for anybody. But as a Christian, I submit my life to the Lord. And if you choose to keep me alive, I will stay alive to live for him. And if you choose to take me home, I will go home to spend eternity with him. As the scripture teaches, if we live, to the Lord we live. If we die, to the Lord we die. If we live, or if we die, to the Lord we will be. This is what Christians believe, and that is how Christians live. It does not have any logic or common sense to say, because I'm a Christian and because I believe that when I die, I will make it to heaven. Here, let me prove it to you. Oh God, I wish to die right now. May I die right now? And if I said it and I did not die, that means I am telling the truth about my eternity in heaven is guaranteed as a Christian. That does not make any sense whatsoever. It's just a very strange way of Muhammad looking at an evidence that what the Jewish people were saying is true, that they are the only one who will make it to heaven. One of the strange things also is that Ibn Abbas stated that Muhammad said, it is a statement by Muhammad in the Hadith, if they would have wished the death for themselves, he's talking about the Jewish people, there would not be one Jewish man in the world. Imagine with me, if the Jewish people would take the challenge of Muhammad and they would prove to Muhammad that they are telling the truth, and they will all say, we wish to die if we are not telling the truth. All of them would have died years ago. Why? Because Muhammad know for sure, ladies and gentlemen, that the Jewish people will not make it to paradise, as we're going to see a little bit later in our study, that all the Jewish people, when they die, they go to the third hell. That is hell number three. We'll get to it a little bit later. And they will never come out of that hell. But the Jewish people were so smart because they know they're liars. They never wish the death for themselves. And that's how Muhammad once again proved to them and to everybody around them that they were liars. And they will not be in paradise. But only, obviously, Muhammad and the Muslims will go to paradise. Obviously, after they will spend some time in the first hell to be tormented and to pay for their sins. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.